I was brought up in a small village called Rasharkin. It's between Ballymoney and Ballymena. I would have quite a broad accent for County Antrim, and I like many thousands of young people. I was sent along to Sunday school and church, etc., on a Sunday. But my heart, I wasn't a Christian, and I didn't want to be a Christian. And yes, I heard the preaching, and I heard the Word of God being preached most Sundays, but I had no absolute desire to know those things, like many people growing up. And as soon as I got to about 14, 15, I thought I had a wee bit of say in the house, and I just decided to stay away from all those things. And also, I guess, coming from where I came from, there was quite a lot of sectarianism, and I would have experienced a lot of that kind of thing. And I grew up very bitter in my heart. Didn't associate with quite a lot of people in the community. I hated a lot of ones with a passion, and that led me to do a lot of stupid things for a certain cause. And as I left school, he joined flute bands and run around the countryside, thinking you are somebody in a way. And it wasn't long before I got into the work scene. I was brought up well, so I was, had manners, and like a lot of young people, and I was pretty harmless. But it doesn't, from a young age, you don't have to train a kid to tell lies and to maybe steal things. And like, I remember doing different things like that. It just goes to show you what the Word of God says, that we all fall short of God's glory, and sin and iniquity were born from our mother's womb. And as I left school and entered out into the world, that's really whenever I got a proper taste of the world, and the people in various workplaces would have influenced me very easily, as I was very easily influenced. As I wanted to, a lot of young people just want to feel accepted in society, and just kind of feel popular, have attention, have lots of friends. You don't like to be left out, and we find thousands of young people today like that, and young people, through simple things like that, even starting to commit suicide across the country and the nations. So to be like, then I started doing really stupid things. People would have obviously started smoking, and if somebody did something, I would have tried to outdo them, outdo anybody really. So that people kind of talk about you and boy, look at that boy there, and it wasn't long then before, Satan really, at that young age, really started to, whenever you start, he knows your nature, he knows your weaknesses, and he will play on those things. I knew I had an addictive nature, I wanted to try and please people and feel accepted, so he brought lots of things my way. My passion was the dance, trance music, and rave, and which really started to get right into my heart and my mind. Through that, into the clubbing scene, that just became a second nature of mine. I was a big clubber. Travelled all around the country and even different countries to club, and go out in all these crazy binges. And through that, then there was bits of drugs offered to me, and it was kind of made you feel different, and different from the normal doing your week's work. Made you forget about things, I felt good, and then it wasn't too long before I started to needing more, and it wasn't long before I was taken massive amounts of drugs, alcohol. I was also big into football and the gym. And I always wanted kind of the best of the both worlds. You know, I wanted to be out there in the club and scene. I wanted to train in the gym. I wanted to look good. I wanted to be bigger and stronger than all the boys in the gym and all the ones in the club. I wanted my heart. I wanted respect. I wanted attention. All these different things. You know, that's why I started pursuing all the things that I'd done. And, you know, as I went into the clubbing scene, I thought that was the next best thing to heaven on earth. The darkness and the beat, and all the girls running around, and all your mates there. And it really took a big grasp of my life, of my young heart. Where I just 24/7 I'd have been listening to some sort of trance music. I would have been trying to go out throughout nights through the week, and I'd been away all weekend, and I would have been really that's probably why I struggled to focus on a job, to focus on education, even though I maybe had a few brains while I was at school before I abused myself. But whenever I left, obviously getting into all that, like, I really ate into my brain cells and confidence, and really developed a few short years into that. I was taking so much stuff that I started to eat into my mind, into my brain or whatever. I started to have psychological problems and mental problems, and you know, it was social problems. Also in the gym as well, like, it just seemed that anything that was going, I would take, and I was introduced to steroids as well, and the next thing I was taking all that stuff, and, you know, it's an absolute miracle, and I'm still standing here today, praise the Lord. The human body can withstand some amount of abuse, really, I can say that. And also, when I left school, that I remember, like, a month after I left school, I was involved in a very serious motorbike smash. I could have been out into eternity just like that. And then a few months after that, then I ended up in Colerain Hospital for a full week. I had took some sort of crazy old virus thing where I had to be separated, and sort of thing. If you let it go, I would have killed you. And then, after a year after that, then I was involved in a very serious car smash, my younger days was an absolute nightmare, I have to admit, and I didn't make things easy for myself. I was an absolute nightmare to my family. My mum and dad didn't know what was hitting them. The house was getting attacked. The things I was maybe doing was influencing other people to do things to their house and destroy property and all sectarian. And, you know, my life was just an absolute nightmare. And that's, you know, that's where sin was taking me. And I came to a point in my life where the abuse, my abusive behaviour was making me feel a certain way, and it forced me really to feel so many depressive feelings, and oh my goodness, I just can't explain just the way that the way I was in. The mind is a very complex and deep place, you know, as I struggled, I lived every single day in the overdraft in my bank and blew all my money. I didn't know how to do. Honestly, I was just had no proper. I was just following my desires and my impulses and my appetites, and whatever came out of my head, I just did it. That was it. And I lived in a world where it was every man for himself. Nobody cared about anybody. There was no decency. It was all foul language continually. It was aggressiveness. There was issues on the weekends with police. So that just gives you an idea of what kind of, like, a lot of young guys, girls around this area, Belfast, and towns and villages are all in the same boat. I came to a point where I just I didn't know what else to do, really. I was experiencing all these health problems, behavioral problems. I could see all my friends. Everybody was getting a wee bit wilder, and our language and our minds and our thinking. And, you know, and that, all the things we were taking had a big, big, major part to play. And I was very, very down at a stage. And my sister came along and asked me, do you fancy going to a Christianity Explored course? And it was run by Christians. Now, I thought it was a drug rehabilitation centre, and I says to myself, I'm not going in there with them loony bands. You know, because I thought I was okay, really. And but it turned out it was like a cafe place. It was a Christian outreach centre. And it was a place called a hovel. It was called the Wash Basin. Some might have heard of it. And it was a 10-week course on every Monday night. And, you know, I just thought, wise up. You know, I'm out of Christians. And all I thought of Christianity was boring, dull, big stone buildings. I'm not saying I'm the best stone building, but suits and hats. I don't have anything against suits, by the way, or hats either. So, but that's really what I thought, you know. You know, so many people out there have such a wrong view of what Christianity is. Really, it's crazy, you know. But anyway, that was my view, I just says, nah, I'm not going near them people. You know, because I was the first person to run away from a Christian. You know, John or Trevor had come near me outside a nightclub. I'm not interested. Or walked to the other side of the street because you could have spotted them boys a mile away, you know. And with the tracks and all. You know, for years I had no desire, no thought of God, no nothing. And I was so cold towards those things. And my uncle was a preacher. When he came into the house, I was up the stairs like a rocket. And here's a bit of encouragement for a Christian, that don't give up and asking people to come out, family members and friends, because I told my sister to wise up, really. But look, she came back again and she asked me, and she never gave up. And through that time, I had thought, oh, I've tried this. I'm just never happy. I'm just not content. I've no peace. You know, I just feel that my life is going nowhere at all. Okay, I'll give it a go. And so she took me, and inside those 3 weeks, I became a person that was so standoffish from all things church and Christian and Bible and God, to people could not get a question in, because I was the boy that was sitting there. There were two or three tables of ones with leaders and other people, and no one else could get a question in by the third Monday night, because I was Mr. Machine Gun here. I was just firing questions, whatever. I don't care. I didn't really care how stupid it was. How do you know that God's real? How do you know the Bible's real? What's faith? How can you have faith in something you haven't seen? How do you believe in Jesus Christ? I mean, what would happen if you became a Christian? What would your friends? All these concerns and thoughts, and I just spoke them out, really. And the people are so good, because, you know, they weren't sitting there in suits and hats, right? They were sitting there with their shirts and their jeans and all that. And some of them actually came from maybe various alcoholic backgrounds. But, you know, they were very knowledgeable people, and they were fit to answer a lot of questions. But the period for 3 weeks, I continued to try and fulfill my desires to go out. I'd actually got injured for 2 weeks playing football. And I thought, happy days, let's go out here to all the student nights on the crutches, get a wee bit of attention from the girls maybe, because I'm on the crutches and maybe meet the right one or something, and that sort of, well, it kind of backfired, but every single night, blew all my money. I had woke up and had new people up there. I woke up in houses in the mornings, stinking of cigarettes, people lying all shapes. Oh, I felt horrible, absolutely horrible. And again, there was this thing tugging at my, like a big massive hole that just a void that I just couldn't fill. And but yet my desires, my fleshly nature kept trying to force me to go out to those clubs and all, and I was taking more and more stuff, and it was as if the Lord was just letting me say, you just keep going there and seeing that there is nothing to this world and to all those things, and he was right. The Lord was right. My life was just being just totally destroyed. And I went that third night, and as I said before, I was just a man on a mission that night. And a little did I know it, but the Spirit of God was dealing with my heart, and in a way that I'd never known before. And I was being convicted of sin in my life. And I remember three or four Christian guys, they all stood. I took me to a room outside, and I stood there and if you could picture me, you wouldn't even recognise me. I was all tight shaven around here, and hoops and thick chains and tight t-shirts, and I thought I was Mr. Universe or something. But and I stood, and I am not joking, my eyes were like saucers. I stood and I watched the whole lot of them, and I took in every single word them guys said to me. They told me about the Lord coming again. And because the Lord, the Spirit of God was dealing with me, for the first time in my life, I just felt a physical shiver go right up my spine, because I says, if the Word of God here is real, and if God is real, and if judgment is real, and as I looked back and I considered, and as I reasoned with myself, and I look back at all the things I'd done and the person I was, the person I became, and I says, that has to be what the Bible calls sin, iniquity, wickedness. And if I should die, I had this sense that my life could be over at any time. And it's the same for any one of us. And I had this great sense that I could die, and I would, for the Word of God says, is appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. And I just says, honestly, if I should die, I will perish, according to John 3:16. And that brought fear into my heart, and I went home, and the next day I never spoke a word to anybody. I got home from work and never spoke a word to anybody. I never spoke to my friends, family, work colleagues, because the Lord was doing something in me. And I went home that night, and I remember I'm the type of person, I like my sleep, and it was getting very late, and whatever was going on, I sat in my bed and had my knees up to my chest, and I found a wee Bible, a Bible that had been lying around for a long, long time, and covered in dust, and it wasn't one for reading the Bible, because it was, as far as I was concerned, it was black and white words, and we can all know stories about Jesus, but we don't know Christ, really, and that was the same as me. But as I began to flick through verse or pages, I began to look for a particular verse that would, that's it, that's what I need, or but I didn't find a particular verse, but there was a big fight going on in my mind, and it was, you can't do this Christianity thing. You're too hard. You've too much reputation around Balmain, around clubs. What about all the ones you're partying with? What about the boys and football teams and gym? And they're all going to laugh at you becoming this saved thing, this saved, you know. You're going to be turned born, you're going to turn into a big wuss, you know. And that was the last thing I wanted because I was all macho, you know. And you'll have to stand up there and give your testimony. And again, the devil knows things about you. And he knows deep down that I had issues with confidence. And that scared the wits out of me. That see all these different thoughts. I mean, where is this stuff coming from? But yet, on the other side, the Lord was saying, you have to get saved. You could die tonight. What about judgment? Are you going to keep running with all these boys and doing all these things and lose your life for an eternity? You need to get saved. And to be honest, the Lord won that night. And all those years of struggle, that was as I fought and fought that night, sitting there in my bed, and I didn't know how to get saved. I didn't know what to do. And just then the thought came into my head, what's the word of God about here? So the word says, for Christ died for the ungodly. And I just says, that's me. That has to be me. And sitting there, a big, you know, just rough fella at the time, just sitting there, and I just says, that's me. And if Jesus died, he died for me. He paid it all. And within realizing that, I says, Lord, come into my life. That's all I said. It wasn't a big, long prayer. And I didn't know how to pray. I just says, Lord, come into my life. Because the Lord knows the heart. He knows your heart more than you do. He knows your very thoughts and inmost being. And I didn't have to pray a big, massive prayer. Because it wasn't like me going to the gym and saying, I'm going to go here and lose a stone after Christmas. And then the next thing, 3 or 4 weeks after, then you're back smashing cream cakes into yourself again. I meant that with all my heart. It wasn't just something you think up here. It was, this is a heart thing. I believed in my heart. And the change was the next morning. Yeah, I didn't see a crazy big change that night because obviously I just put my head on the pillow and went to sleep. But I would have jumped into the work van, sparked up a cigarette, turned on the beat, away down. I had to go down Scallon for two-hour drive that day to my work. And, you know, I remember I had no desire for listening to a lot of sort of stuff on the radio, a lot of beat on the radio, all the CDs. I had no desire whatsoever to listen to any of that music. I had no desire to spark up a cigarette. Because I was sick of my life. I was sick of drugs, drink, and smoking. And I was just sick of everything. I hated it. Absolutely hated it. And I said 2 swear words that next day. Swearing just was flat out with me. And for the first time in my life, my conscience clicked in. I said, Lord, forgive me for swearing. Clean my mind up. Clean my words. And you know, swearing doesn't come naturally to me anymore. It really doesn't. And by no means perfect, but it does not come naturally anymore. And my mind was always thinking sectarian thoughts, thoughts of violence, thoughts, I want to go out here and get smashed. And I tell you, the power of the Spirit of God is what the Lord done in my life. And he changed my nature. He came right in to where I was, and he cleansed this old nature of mine, and he got rid. I'm not joking. I was driving like this here, 2 hands on the steering wheel, as if somebody had given me a load of diazepam tablets. I had a peace. I had a peace I had never experienced in my life. True peace that no club, no girl, no drugs, no anything could ever give to me. And I says to the boy, I says, Walter, I've something to tell you. And he goes, you became a Christian. Now, I don't know how you knew that there. I've heard that from other people, but see, when Christ truly saves you, you can see it in your aura, in your being. And I started work a few months later, as I told people around the country and phoned them up, and it's amazing to see how many friends you have whenever you come to Christ. I tell you, they drop like flies. So they do. And for somebody that wanted friends, wanted popularity, when I came to Christ, I lost it all. I lost the whole thing. And, you know, but I can't blame them, because that's the way I would have been. You know, I had no interest in any Christian saved men. You know, I stayed miles away from them. And I got into a big workplace, Rights Coach Works in Ballymena. And half of the factory knew me and knew who I was and knew what I was about. And I was coming in there a different boy. And I experienced people avoiding me. People getting upward with me. I didn't know how to act as a Christian, what attitudes to have when somebody says things to you, tries to take the hand out of you, because I knew what I'd have done before. If somebody tried to say something to me, I wouldn't have thought I would have been more action. And all of a sudden I had to, the Word of God says, for love your enemy, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you. And all of a sudden, the teachings of Christ was coming real in my life, and it was hard. It was hard, some of the guys that knew me quite well from the past, they even said, "I can see it. I can see the change in you." And I says, "Well, I know I'm changed. I can, but it's hard to, you know, I know I'm a changed man. Whatever the Lord has done to my nature, and." As time goes on, you come to various trials, and there's temptations, and there's people comes up to you, and people that I would have thought very little of, not all of a sudden they were trying to take the hand out of me. As a Christian, sometimes I thought this life is far harder. This life is far harder. And I don't want to give anybody an impression that, you know, when a person becomes a Christian, you're skipping through the streets of Belfast like a spring lamb, and you're all smiley and all happy and clappy all the time, because you're not, because there's some very hard times. But you know what? The grace of God is far superior than all those circumstances you experience. And I just want to tell you that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life tonight. And no matter what you're going through, I want to just recommend you need Christ in life, you need Christ in death. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I find myself doing something now, I dread it, doing a bit of singing. Give me testimony. The Lord has helped me so many times, and I know there's been many witnesses here through the week, but I tell you something. You only know the power of God whenever you come to him, bow the knee at the cross, have a time to sing a song, or there's nothing really much more left to say, but when he was on the cross, I was on his mind.